بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطاهرين الطيبين. السلام عليكم dear brothers and sisters. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all of our deeds, all of our fasts, our du'as, supplications and recitations of the Quran, and we ask Him to help us progress throughout this month to arrive at where He wants us to be at the end, inshallah. On the 15th of the month of Ramadan, the dua that we have received is as follows. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma razuqni fihi ta'at al-khasha'in. Washrah fihi sadri bi'inabat al-mukhbitin. Bi'amanika ya aman al-khaifin. This dua is a bit shorter than most of the other duas. And what we find in it is very interesting, and we'd have to try to make sense of it. And what we're going to explain is some minor points, probably, that come to mind with regards to these passages. The first thing we ask here is, Allahumma rizuqni fiha ta'at al-khashi'in. We're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us as rizq, something that we need. We mentioned this in one of the previous du'as as well. Whatever we need to sustain our existence, to allow us to continue our existence, progressing to through and to our perfection, would be referred to as rizq. The water that we drink, the food we have, the medication we take, the sunshine we need, the oxygen we inhale. All of these things are sustenance. They are part of the material sustenance that we have. And there are certain things that are spiritual sustenance. Ta'a is being referred to here. Obedience of God. My obedience of God is a sustenance that God is going to give me. In other words, it is a blessing that is needed and required for my existence, if I am to progress towards the perfection that I am made to be able to have. So, asking for ta'a, when we understand it in that way, becomes very important. We're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help in ta'a, obedience, listening to what He has said. As difficult as it may become, and it is difficult to do the ta'a, that's the initial step, the wajib and haram, because ta'a, obedience to God, isn't limited to wajib and haram. It goes beyond that. But the first step is wajib and haram. It becomes difficult and challenging to follow that. Sometimes it becomes difficult to even fully understand what is haram and what is halal. What is wajib and what is not wajib? The definition of backbiting, is it such that every time I speak of someone that will be referred to as backbiting? Is that what it is? And then in applying that, sometimes it becomes confusing. Does this apply? Do I remain silent? Do I not remain silent in the face of someone who is speaking of another brother? Is it my obligation to say something? Is it my obligation to leave? If there's haram music being played, can I be there? Can I not be there? What's the effect of it on me? And so on and so forth. Applying these rules to become obedient is going to be challenging. And so we're asking here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us out for ta'ah. However, we're not asking simply for ta'ah, for obedience. We're saying, Allahumma rizuqni fiha ta'at al-khasha'in. The ta'a that those who are khasha' are going to have. What is khushu'? Khushu' and tawadu', which is usually translated as humility and being humble, tawadu' is. These two, khushu' or takhashu' and tawadu' are similar in meaning. There are some minute differences and intricate differences between the two, but for the most part, they're very similar meanings. It seems the difference might be, as some have said, that the khushu' refers to the inner human humility. In other words, tawadu' may be referring to the outward expression of humility. If a person is seen to lower their voice, to speak with humility, to address people in a way where he is not addressing them from above and as though he is above and beyond them and superior to them, but rather as someone that is less than them. This type of behavior, which affects even the way one stands, affects the way one walks, affects the way one sits in front of and before those that he is being mutawadha towards, these are expressions of humility, but the internal and the feeling and the belief that one has, that inner humility, is takhashu and khushu. We're saying, oh Allah, give us the ability to have the ta'ah, the worship, the servitude of the khashi'een, the ones that have that inner humility towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the significance of khushu? What's the difference of or between the ta'ah of a khashi' and the ta'ah of someone who's not khashi'? The obedience of someone who is khashi' and the obedience of someone who is not khashi'. What is the difference between the two? There are various differences in many different ways, but one of the differences that can be said, which is somewhat evident, I feel, sometimes we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala simply because we feel an obligation and it is necessary for us to do something or for us to avoid something. And we are going to be avoiding that which we need to avoid, the haram, or doing what we need to do, which is a wajib, an obligation. We do it sometimes with frustration, that I have to do this, especially if we are doing so and we are engaged in that act of worship or trying to avoid something which is forbidden, not simply because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us, but also because that there are other members or there are other people around us that it is important for them that I act in this way. If, for example, we are in our teen years and our parents are very keen on us fulfilling the obligations and avoiding sin, if we feel the pressure of parents as well, or if we're around friends that consider that important, or when a school or an environment that we have to do it, what happens is that we will end up fulfilling the obligation. We will end up avoiding the sin, but not out of want, not out of the feeling that I need to do this, not out of the feeling that I want to do this, but rather doing it with a lot of frustration, and why do I even have to do this? But someone who has khushu' towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how does khushu' towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come? Khushu' means humility, we just mentioned. Humility means considering oneself low. Considering oneself low sometimes is fabricated, it's superficial. And that's why that's maybe one of the differences between tawadu and khushu'. Sometimes people act humble and act as though they have humility towards someone, but inside them, they actually do not feel that the other party is any better than them. They feel that they are actually superior. If I feel I'm better than you, but for various reasons, I act as though I am humble before you. I act humble, that doesn't mean that I am feeling less or lower. It simply is acting humble. Khushu' is only going to happen not if I just tell myself that I need to have humility towards Allah. The way you can feel it is to understand two things. One, understanding who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, how great He is, His magnificence, His glory, understanding that, spending time looking at the verses of the Quran, du'as that explain this, ahadith, using our own intellect, our aql, the inner messenger, that if we allow it, if we give it time, if we don't waste our time on useless things, it will develop these understandings. What will happen is that we will feel and we will realize how great Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. But the other part of what we need to focus on and understand is who we are. How worthless, in a sense, how insignificant, how low I am. Understanding that and feeling that is going to lead to khushu' towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If one has that understanding of themselves, that I am nothing, all that I contribute to myself is wrong and evil and deficiencies. Whatever good is even in me is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I understand that, then when God tells me to do something, I will, with the feeling of khushu', be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is going to help me progress towards my spiritual goals. That will help me progress towards my perfection, the goal of my existence. So Allahumma arzuqni fiha ta'at al-khushu'. The second dua is very interesting as well. It says, وَشْرَحْ فِيهِ الصَّدْرِ بِإِنَابَةِ الْمُخْبِتِينَ. It tells us, or it's asking for something, and then it tells us how to get there, how to arrive there. It says, وَشْرَحْ فِيهِ الصَّدْرِ. Expand my chest, my heart, my ability to take in a sense, what I need to be able to take in. I'll try to explain what limited knowledge I have of this, or perhaps it's not even knowledge. Whatever I can understand of this. Sharh al-Sadr is something that the Holy Quran mentions in a few instances, a few verses of the Quran. One of them is the dua that Prophet Musa makes. رب اشرح لي صدري. Oh Allah, expand my chest. In another verse of the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that whoever he wants to do شرح الصدر of للإسلام, expand their chest للإسلام, for Islam, which I'll explain briefly, then he does, or he gives them certain things. شرح الصدر, the expansion of the chest, as opposed to ضيق الصدر, the tightness and the narrowness of the chest. In the context of Prophet Musa, it seems like what is generally understood is when he is given the task to go to Fir'aun, and this important task of leading the masses, leading Bani Israel and the tribe of Fir'aun, although they rejected in the end, but everybody was supposed to be guided, but the tribe of Fir'aun rejected, except for a few maybe that accepted the call of Prophet Musa. So when he's given this very difficult task, and the agitation that comes with it, the stress that comes with it, the tightness that comes with it, he says, Oh Allah, open my heart, expand my chest, give me the ability to take on these difficulties without it causing me to narrow myself and not be able to continue it. To allow, in order for me to not allow the stress cause me to tighten up and not be able to carry out my responsibilities. So that's what happens when there's a lot of pressure. You start getting crushed under that pressure and you stop being able to continue with that. But if that pressure doesn't allow you to get crushed, but rather it's expanded and your chest is expanded, you can move forward. Similar, maybe one of the other verses sort of has this understanding mentioned in it, that the Dhiyabul Sadr is like going up in the sky. When there's not enough oxygen, you feel very tight, you can't breathe right, there's a lot of pressure on you, and you can't even function correctly and properly. But when you have an expanded chest, then you can function correctly and properly. But the Sharh al-Sadr in the other verse that we mentioned, the ones that God wants to expand their chest, lil Islam, seems to be something, well, similar but with some differences. The expansion of the chest, lil Islam, for Islam is submission, complete submission. Submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in not only obeying Allah, but rather in being submissive and being accepting of all of God's will, whatever He wills, in regards to myself, in regards to anyone, everything. This includes Islam, not simply being patient, but Islam and submission, acceptance, and being pleased with the difficulties that come in one's life, the hardships that one faces, that come in many different ways and through many different sources, whether it's people, it is relatives, it is parents, one's spouse, children, work, nature, everything, all of it. With all the difficulties that sometimes one faces, one starts feeling pressure, they feel the tightness and the acceptance of it, that this is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I need to be pleased and to ease up. That is Sharh al-Sadr. Sharh al-Sadr, the opening of the chest. It's a great blessing to ask for, and it's not easy to have. It's something that definitely requires a lot of dua. وَاشْرَحْ فِيهِ صَدْرِي. Open my heart, open my chest, expand my chest in this month. But what's the means to it? How do you arrive there? How do you get there? How can you have this Sharh al-Sadr? It says, بِإِنَابَةِ الْمُخْبِتِينَ. We'll have to talk about these two words. Inaba sort of means tawbah. Inaba means to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Turn back to Him. In mukhbitin means someone who has that tawadu. This is very similar to the khashia that was mentioned before. Mukhbit is someone that is humble, down to earth. This is what the meaning of mukhbit means. Bi'inabatil mukhbitin. Someone who's trying to be humble, trying their best to be humble and have humility within, their tawbah, inabah, turning to God on a regular basis, in what way? If they commit a sin, if they make a mistake, which we are going to be making mistakes, we will, God forbid, unfortunately, this happens. We commit sins. We do things that are haram. God has said, don't do this, and we still do it. When we get involved with that type of behavior, to be able to turn back and say, God, I regret that, and I don't want to do it. I want to turn back to You. I want to try again. Give me another chance. If a person is trying to be humble and have humility towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when they make mistakes, They recognize their mistakes. They feel bad because of those mistakes. Those mistakes, whether they are sins in relationship with God or in my relationship with people, which there are many sins in that arena, or any other area of life, any other dimension of life, if I make a mistake, if there is an error that I make, being humble in accepting that I have made a mistake, and also repenting and trying to fix it up next time. It says if this process, what we understand from this dua, if this process continues, we have the inaba with humility, recognizing mistakes, trying to fix them up. This is our approach. Gradually, this will lead to sharh al-sadr. Our chest will be expanding and expanding and expanding. And we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give the expansion of the chest through the means that gets us there, which is inaba of a mutawadain. And lastly, we're asking Allah all of this bi-amanik. Bi-amanik. Security. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides security. Ya aman al khaifin, the one who provides security to those that are fearful. If we really understand where we are, where we're headed, what the dangers on the path are, for us to deviate from the path and move in the wrong direction, which is the pit or the pits of hellfire, this is a real serious danger. If a person realizes where they are and what they're doing and what the dangers are, they will have fear. They would have serious fear of making those mistakes, of not being able to accomplish what is mentioned in this dua, of ta'a of Allah. The fear of not being able to do that. The fear of not being able to have sharh al-sadr, that I'm not able to have that inabah, because I don't have that tawadhu, I'm not humble, I don't recognize my mistakes. The fear of that is a very dreadful fear, and the one that can secure one's heart and give one the feeling of security to soothe their heart is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya aman al-khaifin. And He doesn't just give us a psychological pill or something that would cause us to feel secure when there are serious dangers, but rather He will help us move away from those dangers, and that's what we're asking here in this dua. Therefore, we say at the end of it, we're asking Him through the security He provides, as He is the one who provides security to those who feel insecure and fearful. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen.